Hello, and welcome to Silver Threads, a weekly program of information on how you can make your senior year shine. I'm Kathy Van Skoik. As we have seen in previous programs, ageism, prejudice or discrimination on the basis of one's age, is common and can have detrimental effects on our physical, emotional, and mental health. Naturally, we would want to eliminate it or call it out for what it is, discrimination, plain and simple. Or is it that plain and simple when it comes to holding the highest office in the land, the presidency? There are differing opinions on that subject, which is a critical factor in our next presidential election to be held in 2020. It is already the highlight of most news outlets in print and television, as well as social media. Today's articles from the New York Times offer observations and opinions from various sources, including former President Jimmy Carter, as to whether there should be an upper age limit to be president. How old should a president be? So many choices. Democrats are sharply divided, by Lisa Lehrer and Denise Liu, published June 2019, before the candidate field was whittled down from 24. And Are Biden and Sanders Too Old to Be President? That was written by Spencer Boquette-Lindell, September 19th, 2019. And we'll begin with, how old should a president be? So many choices, Democrats are sharply divided. As a young adult, Ronnie Werner protested the war in Vietnam, fought for civil rights, and supported a 42-year-old Democrat, Robert F. Kennedy, in her first election in 1968. 40 years later, her home served as the local headquarters for the then-Senator Barack Obama's presidential campaign, as she urged her fellow Democrats to embrace new leadership. That was then. Now, as Democrats grapple with the possibility that President Trump could win 4 more years in the White House, Ms. Werner feels that betting on the next generation is a risk she can't afford to take. We are in such terrible straits that everything I've worked for my entire life, professional and personal, is about to go down the toilet, said Ms. Werner, 72, as she waited to see former Vice President Joseph R. Biden at a pizza parlor in Hampton, New Hampshire. Young people, I think, they're hungry for change and they deserve change, but they don't know how scary it is. The political power of generational change, a constant in Democratic politics and in victorious presidential campaigns for much of the last 60 years, is now being hotly debated as the party wrestles with how to defeat Mr. Trump. Age has never defined a race so sharply before. The Democrats included one of the youngest presidential candidates in modern history and the oldest one, spanning 4 generations, from 37-year-old Pete Buttigieg, mayor of South Bend, Indiana, to 77-year-old Bernie Sanders, senator from Vermont. The age thing is going to be one of the wedges by the time we get to the caucus next year, said Bryce Smith, the 27-year-old Democratic chairman in Dallas County, a fast-growing suburb of Des Moines. It's that question of experience versus new leadership. Interviews with more than 3 dozen voters, strategists, and officials in recent weeks showed Democrats struggling not only with the question of how old exactly was too old, but also with whether it was time to turn over the country's most powerful office to a new generation. Democratic midterm wins ushered in a divisive and diverse wave of younger politicians, assisted by record turnout from young voters. 24 Democrats under the age of 40 entered Congress, a fourfold increase from just 2 years ago. While the 3 most powerful House Democrats are in their 70s, the party's youngest members, like 29-year-old Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, exerts tremendous influence over its agenda. Their victories boosted expectations that youth could be an asset in the presidential race. Yet at a time of ascendancy for younger Democrats, some worry there may be political peril in nominating a younger politician to challenge the 72-year-old Mr. Trump. It's a notable shift for a party that has traditionally won the White House by embracing the ethos of a new generation in candidates like Barack Obama in 2008, Bill Clinton in 1992, and John F. Kennedy in 1960. The two men that led most polls, Mr. Sanders and Mr. Biden, would be over 80 by the time they finished their first terms in office, beating out Mr. Trump to become the oldest of any president elected to their first term. Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, who polled third in some surveys prior to this, will be 71 on Election Day. Their age cuts a striking contrast with many of their rivals. Mr. Biden won his first statewide race for Senate in 1972, before eight of the Democratic candidates had been born. When Mr. Sanders entered Congress in 1990, 10 of his opponents had not yet graduated from college. Both men were the only candidates in federal office during the fall of the Berlin Wall, the first invasion of Iraq, and the first major generational transition for their party in more than three decades, the election of Mr. Clinton in 1992. If you think about Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders, they really are almost representing the very late years of the silent generation, said Neil Howe, a generational demographer who coined the phrase millennial generation in 1991. Now, with Buttigieg, you have a bona fide millennial presence at the other end. Mr. Biden has repeatedly said that it is fair to question his age, announcing that he plans to release his medical records before the general election. But Mr. Sanders, pointing to his good health, has dismissed the question about his age less important than about his positions. At the end of the day, it's not whether you're young or whether you're old. It's what you believe in, argued Mr. Sanders during a Fox News town hall in April. Meanwhile, younger candidates have made their age a central part of their primary message, arguing that they're better prepared to embrace the new solutions needed to tackle issues like climate change, healthcare, and changing economy. A survey released by the Pew Research Center found that just 3% of Americans say candidates in their 70s are ideal for the office. The world has changed so rapidly, and we need what comes with a generational shift. New ideas, new approaches, new ways of doing things, said Representative Tim Ryan of Ohio, 45, who describes his age as one of his strongest assets. Mr. Buttigieg has made intergenerational justice the central theme of his candidacy, often saying he worries about what the United States will be like in 2054, the year that he will be Mr. Trump's current age. In an interview, Mr. Buttigieg said he references that year to try to encourage Democrats to look beyond defeating the president. What's helpful, I think, with the generational energy that the young candidate can bring is being able to put a very quick face on the urgency of dealing with things for the future, he said. When you're trying to design that world substantively, it points you to a place that's more favorable turf for Democrats. Historically, Democratic nominees and presidents have been younger than their Republican counterparts. The two Democratic nominees who have won the White House since 1992, Mr. Clinton and Mr. Obama, cast themselves as agents of generational change. Political parties are like anything else. They have to refresh themselves, said James Carville, the chief strategist of Mr. Clinton's 1992 victory. The country in 1992 and 2008 had great angst and dissatisfaction with things. I certainly see that now. In the early months of the Democratic primary, a fairly significant split has developed between younger and older voters. While Mr. Biden led the Democratic field across demographic groups, polling shows him with a far bigger advantage among voters over age 55. That's a powerful cohort to have backing his bid. In 2016, Voters older than 45 cast 60% of all votes in the 2016 primary, according to an analysis of exit polling. But the dominance of older voters at the polls may not hold in 2020. This presidential race is likely to be the first election in which voters under 40 make up the same proportion of the electorate as voters over 55, nearly 40% of the electorate, according to some early projections. Generation Z, Millennials, and Generation X outvoted older generations in the 2018 midterms, and early surveys show them on track to turn out in far greater numbers in next year's primary contests than they did 4 years ago. This generational gap is growing larger, said John Della Volpe, the director of polling at the Harvard Institute of Politics, which regularly surveys young voters. Younger people believe that they've been on the short end of the stick for a generation now. Polling shows that younger voters lean more to the left than their parents do, with a majority saying that they support programs like government-run health insurance, free college, and action to curb climate change. In polling conducted by Harvard University last March, only 16% of 18 to 29-year-olds said that they agreed with the statement that elected officials who are part of the baby boomer generation care about people like me. They are also more likely to embrace the possibility of a history-making candidate, expressing greater enthusiasm for a female nominee. I'm ready for someone who's not an older white man, said Meg Thode, 21 and a recent college graduate. The country doesn't look the same way it did 20, 30, 40 years ago. Some younger voters say that the question whether the older candidates really understand the increasing diversity of the country and the kinds of economic challenges younger people will face. It seems like the younger politicians understand the issues that are on our minds more, said Rachel Fellerman, a 19-year-old student in New Hampshire. Look who's taking the most action on climate change, on affordable health care, affordable tuition. But Mr. Della Volpe cautions that age alone is unlikely to determine the Millennial and Generation Z vote, pointing to the strong support that Mr. Sanders had from young voters during the 2016 primary campaign. Early polling in this race shows Mr. Sanders leading among younger voters. Rising generations are rarely represented by presidents their own age, said Mr. Howe. It's one thing for government to reflect that younger generation. It's a very different thing to say that means that someone from that generation has to be elected, he said. An interesting question is, could Bernie Sanders be the great champion for the millennial generation? And now, are Biden and Sanders too old to be president? Jimmy Carter seems to think that there should be an age limit. This article was part of the Debatable newsletter, and you can sign up for it to receive it on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Life has seven stages, Shakespeare wrote, ending in oblivion, but he might have forgotten the eighth. And that would be running for president. Jimmy Carter, the country's longest living former chief executive, seemed to express concern that all three Democratic presidential frontrunners are septuagenarians. I hope there's an age limit, he said. If I were just 80 years old and I was 15 years younger, I don't believe that I could undertake the duties that I experienced when I was president. The debate. The age minimum for presidency is 35. Should there be a maximum, too? Well, the average age of American presidents at swearing-in is 55. But recent decades have seen many outliers. At 70, President Trump was the oldest to take office, beating a record set by Ronald Reagan, who still remains the oldest person ever to leave it at 77. Well before the end of Mr. Reagan's second term in 1989, speculation abounded about his mental decline, and he would be found to have Alzheimer's disease 5 years later. Today, 76-year-old Joe Biden is leading the polls, or was for a short time, for the Democratic nomination, followed by Senators Bernie Sanders, 78, and Elizabeth Warren, 70. Both Mr. Sanders and Mr. Biden would be older going in than Mr. Reagan was coming out. And Mr. Biden, in particular, has established something of a pattern of blunders that has invited questions about his mental fitness to hold the most powerful office on the planet. And given that the average life expectancy for white males was 76 4/10 years in 2017, concern about physical longevity is likely to rear its head. What people are saying. Yes, there should be an age limit. For Mr. Carter, putting an age cap on the presidency is a matter of guarding against the cognitive decline that naturally attends old age. You have to be very flexible with your mind, he said, adding, you have to be able to go from one subject to another and concentrate on each one adequately and then put them all together in a comprehensive way. The things I faced in foreign affairs, I don't think I could undertake them if I was 80 years old. Caitlin Schneider has expressed a similar view in the progressive outlet Splinter, floating a maximum age of 65. She writes, some might argue that the sheer premise of this story is ageist, but being president is, theoretically, an incredibly taxing job. To question whether we ought to have an age cap on candidates isn't designed to disparage the old, but to take a long, hard look at the job at hand. If the rules say a 34-year-old can't do it, it's worth asking, can an 80-year-old? Andrew Ferguson writes in The Atlantic that an age limit may be necessary to break up the gerontocracy, or rule by the old, within the Democratic Party, whose leadership is, on average, 24 years older than that of the Republican Party. He writes, there is a huge gap between where the energy and creativity of the party lie. With a group of dynamic activists and House members in their 30s and even their 20s, think of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and there are the ruling class of 70-somethings layered far above them, like a crumbling porte cochere. The trick for old folks is to adjust their search for purpose and meaning as they follow nature's course and give way to their juniors. No, there shouldn't be an age limit. Calls for disqualifying older candidates in the absence of specific evidence of poor health is discriminatory, argues Ashton Applewhite, the author of This Chair Rocks, A Manifesto Against Ageism. Statistical relationships between age and cognitive decline, she says, tell us nothing about individuals running for president who are de facto atypical, she writes. 80-year-old senators are healthy than the average octogenarian. Many exhibit astonishing intellectual powers and physical stamina. Nor is Bernie Sanders the average 78-year-old. Clearly, he should undergo a physical exam by nonpartisan authorities and release the relevant results and make them public, as should all presidential candidates. But generalizations about the capacities of older people are no more defensible than racial or gender stereotypes. Duke University professors James Chappell and Sari Edelstein, who study the culture of age, write in the Washington Post that research shows elderly people are more cognitively capable than common prejudices suggest, and in some cases have more to offer than their juniors. Nelson Mandela and Winston Churchill, for example, were effective leaders through their 70s. Dr. Chappell and Dr. Edelstein write, Rather than contemplate the disqualification of candidates because of their advanced age, we would do well to consider how older candidates might bring a heightened awareness to issues of inequality and discrimination. A wealth of policy expertise and the adroitness and diplomacy that comes with years of experience in the government. Moreover, as John Della Volpe, the director of polling at the Harvard Institute of Politics, pointed out to the Times, a candidate does not have to be of a particular generation to represent its interests. Support for Mr. Biden and Mr. Sanders, for example, is deeply polarized by age, with Sanders leading among those under 35. Americans under the age of 35 are second-class citizens, the writer Osita Nuvo has argued in Slate. The country's patchwork of age restrictions for federal and state offices was born out of the Founding Fathers' half-baked assumptions based on personal experience about youthful incompetence, a patently illogical prejudice, he says, given that 12 of the delegates at the Constitutional Convention, including Alexander Hamilton, were under 35. Although since there was little debate on the issue, it's possible the logic was more evident to even those younger delegates at the time. But setting aside the question of exactly how old is old enough to run for office, Mr. Navarro writes, it makes no sense for the number to be different from the voting age. The consequence of the nation's age of candidacy laws is that one-third of American adults, more than 74 million people between 18 and 35, don't enjoy full political rights. If they're citizens, they have the right to vote without necessarily having the right to be voted for. This is wrong. A black voter who thinks a black politician would be better attuned to his issues affecting him can vote for a black president. A woman can vote for a woman. But a 20-year-old cannot, by law, vote to send another 20-year-old to Congress. As Matt Yegalis writes for Vox, the Constitution's age requirements can produce strange contrasts. Donald Trump was able to run for president in 2016 with no political qualifications to speak of, while Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, one of the Democratic Party's most talented operatives, cannot. He writes, the constitutional prohibition on people under the age of 35 serving as president is just one of those weird lacuna that was handed down to us from the 18th century, but that nobody would seriously propose creating today if not for status quo bias. Realistically, most people that young would simply have a hard time winning an election. But if you can pull it off, you should be allowed. The takeaway. During the drafting of the Constitution, only James Wilson, one of the Supreme Court's first justices, opposed its age restrictions. There was no more reason for incapacitating youth than age, where the resultant and requisite qualifications were found. James Madison wrote of Wilson's dissent, one can argue whether using age as a proxy for electoral fitness makes good sense or bad, but it seems clear that our current system reveals a country of two minds on the question, fencing off public office at one end of life but not the other. Resolving that contradiction, however, would require a constitutional amendment, one that either removes the age floor or imposes a ceiling. Given the almost insurmountable barriers to changing the Constitution, that is unlikely to happen anytime soon. And here's a little information on some of the president's oldest ones to take office. At 61, there was Gerald Ford. He took the oath of office on August 1974 in the aftermath of the Watergate scandal. notable accomplishments, cutting inflation almost by half, and decreasing unemployment. Then there was John Adams, who was just a bit older at 61 years and 4 months, the first vice president and second president of the United States. Adams' greatest contribution to U.S. history was his rallying of Americans for independence. He pressed delegates at the Second Continental Congress to declare war against Britain. Andrew Jackson at 61 years, 11 months. Displacement and deaths of Native Americans cloud Andrew Jackson's presidency. Americans grew greedy for land in the 19th century, and Jackson took a systematic approach to removing Native Americans with several treaties as president. Then there was Dwight Eisenhower, the first president I personally remember. He was 62 years old, and he served 2 terms as president. During his presidency, he managed the tensions of the Cold War, strengthened Social Security, and signed the Federal Aid Highway Act of 1956. Though he was successful in accomplishing many things, Eisenhower wavered in protecting civil rights of African Americans. George H.W. Bush, 64 years, 7 months, 41st president, brought back traditional American values as the world dramatically changed. James Buchanan, 65 years old, as the 15th president, he experienced the continuous conflict between, again, Native Americans and the U.S. His presidency also witnessed the Panic of 1857 as a result of poor trade. At 68 years old, William H. Harrison, out of the top 10 oldest presidents to hold office, he served only 1 month before dying of pneumonia. Ronald Reagan was 69 years old. His presidency was marked by several scandals. One in particular was the Iran-Contra affair, where U.S. sold weapons to the Islamic Republic of Iran as part of an unsuccessful attempt at releasing 6 U.S. hostages. And finally, Donald Trump, oldest president to date. In an unprecedented political campaign, Republican nominee Donald Trump won the presidential election in 2016. Outspoken and unfiltered, his controversial political remarks mark his presidency. Well, much to think about in those articles and to observe as we move closer to the November 2020 election. Thanks for listening, and until next week, I'm Kathy Van Scoyt. You've been listening to Silver Threads, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. The audio producer for the show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Kathy Van Scoyk. I hope you will join me again next week for more information and updates for making the best of your silver years. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.